Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that we can be here on this great day to worship you, to sing praises to you, and Lord, we're thankful for how truly awesome you are, how you bring us forgiveness in life each day, regardless of how we act, how we treat people, how we treat you. You still give us an abundance of your love and your grace and mercy. Lord, we ask now that as we turn to your word, that you would open our hearts. Lord, block out a few of the distractions that might be racing through our minds so that we can truly meditate on your word. Lord, we hear it, we digest it, and Lord, that we're able to be refreshed here today, that we are nurtured in our faith, and Lord, that we get an extra measure of your grace and love this morning so that we can share that then in the world as we live this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just jump right into our text for this morning, Luke chapter 10. So if you'd like to turn there in your Bible or one in the pew, or I guess you know your phone works today too, right? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, you can turn to your phone and read the Bible. But Luke chapter 10, verse 25, look at the first few verses here. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, we see this on various occasions where someone, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, go up and test Jesus. They're trying to trap him into saying something that's contradictory to what the Word of God, the law, specifically the law, says. And so he wants to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. And so I love this about Jesus. A lot of times he turns around and just asks them a question, right? He doesn't answer it. He gives them a question to think about. And so he says, what is written in the law? How do you read it? And so, in verse 27, he answered, that the expert in the law answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In another particular place in Scripture, the Pharisees are asking Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? Trying to trap him again. And he responds with just almost this identical response here, love the Lord your God, and then love your neighbor as yourself. And so as I thought about this, you know, that is really two principles or two practices that we as Christians are to put into play as we live our lives in this world. And if we think about it, we talked about the first principle or practice last week, right? When we talk about spending time with God, how important it is to spend time with God, whether it's in our personal study time, devotion time, prayer time, or here at church on Sunday mornings, Sunday school Bible class, or some of our Wednesday afternoon evening things that we have going on, or our men's Bible study. All those are ways that we spend time with God, that we make God a priority in our lives, and it's putting the Lord our God in first place. And so it's important, as I just said to the children, it's hard for us, if we lived in a home environment where there was absolutely no love given to you, how do you think you would respond in the world? You probably wouldn't have much love to give to anybody else, right? It would be a pretty tough life. And so it is really for us as Christians, the only way, and I said it last week, we'll probably hear it over and over again, the only way that we can truly be a witness of Jesus to other people is for us to know Jesus ourselves, to know what he's done for us, that he died for us, forgives us, promises us eternal life, to receive a lot of his love so that we can in return then go share his love. And so that's the first practice that we need to put into play really before we can put the love of your neighbor as yourself into practice. Because if we don't have anything to give, how are we going to give that love? And so, what's ironic about this is this expert in law is trying to trap Jesus, and Jesus comes back with a question, And guess what? The expert in the law gets it right. He gets it right because Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he, the expert in the law, wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Have we ever done that? Who does Jesus want you to share his love with? And you know what? A lot of times I want to make that decision. Because you know what? I love sharing God's word with y'all. Because y'all just sit there and listen to me and act like it's pretty good sometimes, right? and it's easy to share my love with my family because they're likable people. But what happens when Jesus says, I want you to go share my love with those people that are hard to get along with, those people who are always vandalizing things, those people who are always the kids at school that are always picking and bullying on people? I want you to go share my love with them. You see, that's where I say, I don't think that's really who Jesus wants me to go share his love with, right? But, and so this expert in the law, the reason this is happening is because they're always trying to trap Jesus, because who is Jesus associating with a lot of times? What's the phrase that's used a lot of times? Tax collectors and sinners. So it's people that are not in that Israelite chosen people of God family. And so they're trying to trap him because, man, Jesus, what they're really trying to say, you're really dealing with the wrong people. You need to think about who you're hanging around with, because we know who you should be talking to. And so that's really why they're trying to trap him. But even though they answer the question correctly, they get it right, do they fully understand what it means? And so Jesus then replies, who is my neighbor, to the expert of the law? In verse 30 he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So to a Levite, but when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. What I would like for us to think about it are really two things that are going on. I know there's a lot of stuff going on here, but we're going to pick out 2 of the things that pertain to what we're talking about here that's going on in this passage. First of all, I'd like to ask you, did Jesus go to the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan and say, look, guys, you know, in a couple of days, there's going to be this guy that's going down to Jericho on this certain road at a certain time, and something bad is going to happen. There's going to be some robbers that are going to jump him. They're going to beat him and leave him there to die. I need you to go down that road at this certain time on this day so you can take care of it. Is that what we see happening?
No.
It's not, is it? What did we see happening? We see 3 people that are going about their everyday life. Where God placed them in life that particular day, they're going down that road, and they come across this man who has been beaten and stripped and left to die. So as they're going through their everyday routine, what does God present them with? an opportunity to be a neighbor. The second thing is here is, does Jesus ask them to be critical about this guy and try to determine if he's really someone that God wants them to help? Now, we don't know for sure why the priest and the Levite passed him by. We do know this much. One of the stories, one of the morals of Jesus' story here is the animosity that took place between the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, the teachers of the law, and the Samaritan people, people who they considered the outcasts, who were not a part of the family. So we know we have that tension there to begin with. But what I would like to say, even for us, when we see someone who is hurting and in need, does Jesus ask us to kind of analyze the situation and determine whether or not we think we should help them or not? And you see, I'm pretty bad about that. I know none of y'all are like this, but I'm pretty bad about it. Because I may look at a person who is struggling with something or needs some help or need a friend to talk to, but I may in the back of my mind think, well, you know what? Man, their particular behavior or something that they did actually got them into this situation, so what? They can get out of it themselves. I don't need to help them. But is that what Jesus is asking us to do? To step back and analyze the situation and say, okay, well, I don't really think Jesus wants me to help this guy because, you know, he did this or that and that. What does he say? Go and do likewise. By who? The Samaritan. Because the Samaritan is going about his everyday routine. He's going down this road. He sees this man who's been jumped by robbers, beaten, and left to die. And he stops and takes the time to care for this guy. And I mean, he really goes above and beyond because he puts him on his donkey. He takes him to a safe place. He cares for him. And then the next day when he leaves, he gives the innkeeper money for that, for what has happened already. And then he says, when I come back, if there's even any more that's owed, what's he going to do? He's going to pay for that as well. So he goes really above and beyond. And Jesus says, who was the neighbor? And the expert says, the one who showed mercy. I guess for us, first of all, we have to determine who the neighbor is. Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? I haven't heard anything, but I'm going to answer it for you. And a lot of times we answer what? Everyone, right? And to me, that's a little overwhelming. If I'm realistic with myself, and I get up in the morning, and I'm getting ready for my day, and I'm saying, Jesus wants me to be a neighbor to everyone. Okay, I'm going back in and going to bed, right? Because I cannot be a neighbor to everyone. How could I be a neighbor to everyone? That would get overwhelming, right? And the beauty of joining Jesus on his mission is the whole idea of, in a sense, I guess everyone could be my neighbor. But who is going to be my neighbor today? It's not going to be everyone. Because you see, as I'm going about my everyday routine, there's something that everyone else has in common. And what is that? They are going through what? Their everyday routine. And guess what? Sometimes our routines cross paths. I mean, we all kind of have a routine. We get up in the morning, we get ready, we go out to either school or work, and we may have specific days that we go grocery shopping. We have Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, where a lot of us are spending time where? as some kind of sporting event, right? We're sitting in the stands with the parents, grandparents, we're out in the field with other players. And so we have these routines that we're going through each and every day, and our paths cross with some of the same people every day, every week, every month, and maybe even sometimes 3 or 4 times a day. And guess what? There may be one of those people that does not know who Jesus is. And I know when we're talking about Hamilton, that's a little bit less likely than in some of the bigger cities. But what is more likely that you're going to come across is someone who is hurting. Someone who has some sort of issue going on in their life, maybe some sickness that they're dealing with, some financial struggle, some relationship issue that people are dealing with, you are going to come across one of those people. And guess what? Go and do likewise. Be a neighbor to that person. And guess what? You didn't have to be a neighbor to everyone that day. And even more likely than not, you really didn't have to expend a whole bunch of extra energy or time because it happened as you were going along your daily routine. Now sure, there's going to be instances where it's going to take up a little bit of your time. But there are a lot of times where we can be the hands and feet of Jesus when we're going out with Jesus on His mission, where we spend no extra time. Because it happens when we're sitting in the bleachers with parents and grandparents. It happens when we're out on the playground or out on the football field with our teammates, where we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, where we can be the neighbor that people need. And the beauty of it is, we have been forgiven. We have had the promise of eternal life given to us. And now what should we want to do? Let me ask you this. I just thought of this. If you keep filling a balloon up with air and keep filling it and keep filling it and you don't let any of it out, what's going to happen? It's going to pop, right? Just maybe, now I don't think this is really true, but it's a pretty good analogy. Analogies break down at some point, you understand that, okay? But if we just kept coming to church and coming to Bible study and coming to Sunday morning Bible class and Sunday school and did a devotion every single day, and we just kept filling ourselves up with God's love and God's love and God's love and God's love and didn't give any out, what do you think would happen? We might explode, okay? We probably don't have to worry about that because we probably don't fill ourselves up enough, right? But the intent is to fill ourselves up and what?
Share.
Go share it. And that's what I pray that we're doing here today. That we are filling ourselves up with God's love. We are nurturing our faith, growing in our faith, so that we can leave these walls of this church and go out into the world and be a neighbor. Be a friend to someone who is hurt. Let's pray. Gracious God, we do ask that you would be with us as we continue to live our lives in this world. Lord, that we are your hands and feet. As it was explained to us yesterday, our missional training, that Jesus is not here physically. We can't see. But what people do see is us. His hands and feet that are being used in this world to share His love with the people around us. Lord, help us to be that this week. Lord, help us to remember and know that we are your children, that we are forgiven. We have eternal life, and we cannot wait. And we cannot help to share that with the people around us this week. Give us an opportunity. Keep our eyes open, our ears open, so that we can see where you are at work, because we're not going out for you, but we're going out with you, with our eyes open, to see where you're working so that we can be the neighbor that people need. We pray this in Jesus' name.